You know, Christmas lights are one of the favorite things of the year for me. It seems like Christmas just sort of lights up the world. And I know when you see all the decorations, it does something to us and just sort of may bring a smile to our face. I, though, hesitate to smile when the stores begin putting up Christmas decorations. It isn't even after Thanksgiving now or after Halloween. It seems like Labor Day kicks it off. And there's so many people that said, oh, there's six less shopping days for Christmas this year. And it just does seem like everything's been squeezed in a little bit more. But Christmas is indeed a very special time of year for so many people. And lights become part of that holiday tradition. I know for our family, generally the day after Thanksgiving, all the fall stuff comes down and Christmas stuff goes up. So Amy and Holly, who was home from college, put all that up. And I had the task of putting up the outside lights, which I did enjoy doing. And I bit off a little more probably than I should have. But I thought we needed a 40-foot Christmas tree. And so I was standing up on the peak of the roof there, throwing the loops of Christmas lights over the top. It took me six tries to get it over the top. I took this picture because 2 days later the wind started blowing and the whole thing came down. But I was not about to get back up there and try that again. But as we talked about last week, certainly Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. But you know, in the middle of this wonderful time, this Christmas season, it is also the darkest time of the year. And I mean literally. This coming Saturday, December 21st, is something known as the winter solstice. This is the time of year that the day is the shortest of any other time of year, and the night is the longest on that Saturday. So I think it's interesting, isn't it, that in a time when everything is so lit up, in the season that we're in, it is also the darkest time of the year. But in this time that is dark often, we find that Christmas pierces the darkness with the light. You know, lights were a big part of the first Christmas. Just think of those angels who put on that dazzling light show in the Bethlehem sky. The shepherds saw it. They were afraid, but they went and saw the baby. The wise men saw the star and followed it in the distant sky and came to where the Savior was born eventually. Light is a major theme in the Bible. You see the concept of it, both physical and spiritual, in many different places. The Bible tells us from the very beginning, God said, let there be what? Right, and there was light, right? Also in 1 John, it tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. So Christmas is indeed all about light, and that is the reason for Christmas. In John 12:46, Jesus said, I have come into the world as a light, or as light, so that whoever believes in me will not remain in what? Darkness, right? He's not talking about physical darkness here. He's talking about personal darkness. Let's face it. Christmas is not only the most wonderful time of year for many, it is also the darkest and most difficult time as well. And everybody has dark days, difficult days for different reasons, but it is certainly amplified during this time of year. So this morning, what I'd like to do is look at the light of Christmas for our dark and difficult days. I want to look at four specific types of dark days and how Christmas and the light of Christ is the response to each of those through the life of Jesus. I think you'll probably identify or relate to at least one of these. If you're taking some notes on the back of your bulletin, we find that Christmas can first include dark days of disappointment. Job 30, He said, I hoped for happiness and light, but trouble and darkness came instead. He was hoping for one thing, but he was disappointed. Now, I'll tell you what, if we take our cues for encouragement and we take our cues for satisfaction and joy from the news cycle, we're not going to find it. If we take our cues from often other people or what's happening in society or even in our own home, we're not going to find it. The fact is, life is just disappointing sometimes. We've all been there and all done that. Things just don't work out as planned. Situations don't work themselves out like we thought they should. Presents that we get, we see them under the tree and we think they're something and they end up being something else, right? I remember growing up as a kid, looking under the tree and all the presents that were under there. And one year I was so excited because I was going to get a basketball. And I could see it was round and it was all wrinkled up because you can't wrap something round. And I was told not to touch it, so I didn't. And I waited in anticipation. And I finally ripped that thing apart and it was a globe. A world globe. I mean, come on. Well, you said you like social studies. Yeah, we got you a globe. I'm like, oh, man. But the worst one of all, we had some fun growing up, and my parents always put something under the tree from our dog Lassie and from Santa. We knew that it came from them, but I had asked for a T-shirt that in junior high, okay, all the kids were wearing this cool T-shirt. Had to do with some company called Nike or something like that, all right? I wanted a Nike T-shirt. And, of course, my sister and I are under feeling the presence, and I saw something from Santa, and it was the T-shirt. I was convinced. And so that Christmas Eve is when we opened our presents in the Swedish tradition of things, I was told anyway. Opened that present, and it was from Santa. Saved it for last because I knew it was going to be. I opened it up. Santa brought me underwear. Who does that to a kid? I don't know. My parents, I had psychotherapy for years after that. First of all, it's Santa ruined it, but second was the underwear. So, I don't know. Do you think that Mary would have been disappointed that first Christmas? Yeah. I mean, here she was told, you're giving birth to the King of Kings. You're giving birth to the Savior. And she ends up having a baby in a barn. I mean, there had to be some disappointment there with the buildup to it, even with all the uncertainty and everything that was happening there, but it had to be disappointing. I mean, it wasn't the Holiday Inn or the Hilton or even Motel 6. It was a stable with smelly animals in it. See, life is disappointing sometimes. So we go through those dark days of disappointment. We also have dark days of distress. You know, we feel overwhelmed, we're stressed out, we're stretched to the limit, we're frustrated. You got way too much to do, there's not enough time to do it, we don't have enough money to do it anyway, and I don't have the energy for it. Mary may well have discovered that distress the first Christmas. In the first place, she was 9 months pregnant, days from giving birth, and her husband says, hey, honey, our ride has come. I called for the Uber, and it's here. His name is Frank. She walks out to see Frank, and it's a donkey. She has to ride a donkey to Bethlehem. Would you like that, ladies? Would you be happy with your husband for that? I don't think so. I think she was pretty stressed about it. Would not have been pleasant at all. King David experienced stress. I cried desperately for help, he said, but it does not come. Maybe you felt that way. It's like, help me, somebody. I am overloaded. I've got too much to do. I'm stressed out. Dark days of distress when we're stretched to the limit. My guess today is that some of you are right there, kind of right on the edge, if you will. You're maybe stressed out financially. There's way too much month left at the end of the money. It's like the guy who went to the creditor and said, we're having a little trouble with your easy payment plan. Do you have anything easier? Right? We feel like that. Maybe we're stressed out physically. There's just some things that aren't quite working. Our get up and go is got up and went, and we're feeling not so good, not like we'd want to. You can be stressed out relationally. Maybe things in your marriage aren't so good right now. Perhaps other relationships aren't really working out. The kids or relatives or friends or your boss. Expectations in relationships often cause a lot of stress. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Steve, sorry, I'm trying to adjust here, because this is, that's all me. It's not on them. So sorry about that. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Steve told me that he bought a parrot. He talked about getting the dog for his kids. He bought a parrot, and it was a female parrot. He got it home and discovered that the only thing it said was, "Let's make out. Let's make out." Now, he's got a couple of teenage boys in the house and a teenage daughter, so he's like, "I can't have this thing here." So he went back to the shop, and he said to the owner, "I can't have this parrot all continually saying, 'Let's make out. Let's make out.'" And the owner said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I should have told you. Why don't you get this boy parrot that I have here who is able to only say, 'Let's pray. Let's pray.'" And so he said, "That's great." So he took the boy parrot home, put them together in the cage for a week, and finally he'd had enough. He took the parrots back to the owner at the shop, and he said, "I cannot keep these parrots." And he said, "Well, how come? What's going on?" He said, "Well, the female parrot continues to say, 'Let's make out, let's make out.' And the boy parrot has changed to saying, 'My prayers are answered, my prayers are answered.'" He had a little stress over that in the house. All right. We also have dark days of doubt. John said it this way as Jesus, recording Jesus' words, "The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going." Now, that's pretty obvious, right? Pretty obvious. Somebody who's walking around in the dark is going to stumble along and not really know where they're going. Drifting, no clear objective. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Like you're walking along, you're just kind of in a fog, your head isn't where it needs to be, and you're worried about things. Not only are you distressed or disappointed, but there's a lot of doubt. You know, 2019 was kind of rough. I don't know what 2020 is going to be like. I don't know if it's going to be able to be any better. Dark days of doubt. The one who walks in the dark doesn't know where they're going. Maybe you felt that way. It's not a pleasant feeling. During this time of year that it's supposed to be the most wonderful time, you may be struggling with dark days of disappointment or dark days of distress or dark days of doubt. When you're wrestling with those things, that leads us to the fourth and often the most difficult to break out of, and that is the dark days of depression. And honestly, this is where everything seems to cave in. It's like saying, "What is the use?" You just maybe feel like giving up. When World War II broke out, Winston Churchill said, when the war started in Europe, "The light has gone out in Europe." Some of you may be feeling this way right now. The light just isn't there. Lamentations 3, Jeremiah said, "The thought of my pain is bitter poison. I think of it constantly. My spirit is depressed." Maybe it was the death of a loved one. Maybe it was some kind of a defeat or a divorce, or maybe you got laid off or had some major illness or physical challenge. The fact is, you just don't feel like being happy during the holidays. And the happiness, the merriment this time of year only intensifies the pain and loneliness for a lot of people. David had it this way. He said, "Friend, lover, acquaintance, all are gone. There's only darkness everywhere." You know, when you're in that kind of situation, you wonder, is anybody out there? Does anybody care? Listen, friend, If you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this. God cares for you. Amen? God cares. He cares about you because you matter to him. Your pain matters to him. He knows it. He feels it. He is with you in that. You know, every one of us are in one of three situations, three circumstances. Either we're in the middle of a dark time right now, or we're getting ready and we don't even know it yet to be going into some kind of a dark, difficult time, or we've just come out of one and we think we breathe a sigh of relief, but we're getting ready to go back into another one. Every one of us, you see, life is always one problem after another problem to be solved. It's not easy. It's not fun, this whole life thing, especially when we're feeling this weight on our shoulders and in our minds and even in our bodies. And so we have to say, what is the answer? What's the antidote to all this? Well, we find it in Christ. You, Lord, are my light. You dispel my darkness, 1 Samuel says. Christ does this when he says, I am the light of the world. How does he do that? How is he the light of the world? How does he light up our lives? Well, here's the good news, beloved. Because of Christmas, we don't have to stay in the dark. Christ wants to do at least four things in our life related to what we just talked about here. Because of this, we know that he can encourage us when we're disappointed. Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Doesn't that sound pretty heavy? It is indeed. That's the first way God encourages us. He says, I'm with you. I like how another translation put it. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He sees those who have lost all hope. For some of you, I know some of your stories and I don't know some of the others, but it may be that 2019 was a tough year. Maybe you thought you were going to get a promotion and you didn't. Maybe you didn't close that big sale that would have helped your company. You didn't complete that project. What you would hope to happen didn't happen. It didn't materialize. Your health struggles were there. Where is God in all of this? We can ask that question. He's not surprised when we ask that question, friends. He's not, he asked the big one. Where are you, God, in this? Well, I'll tell you what. He has never left us. In fact, one of the names that we're told Jesus would have as he came to this world as God in the flesh was Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's there. He hasn't left us. He's always there with us and for us, and he encourages us in disappointing times by reminding us we don't go through anything alone. He is right there with us. The darkest part of the night is where the light can shine the brightest. But boy, when we're in that darkness, we just aren't thinking about that light, but he's with us. So he encourages me by helping me realize, yeah, he's got a plan. He's got a design. There is a purpose for my life. In fact, Jeremiah, we find that the plans God says he has for us are plans to prosper us, not to harm us, or to give us hope in a future. He said that to his beloved people, Israel. They had the darkest of days where they didn't even have a home to go to anymore. And he said, look, I've not given up on you. And he hasn't given up on any of us ever since. If you are his child, if you know Christ as your Savior, God says, I've got plans for you. I am with you, and they're good plans, by the way. And you know what? Paul said it this way in Romans 8:28. God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. For the good. Now, it doesn't mean that what we're going through right now is good, but it does say that he's working even those disappointing things, those challenges in our life, to that which is good, and he's with us always. Isn't that a great promise? You know, at least in my life, God has to use disappointments to get my attention. It's like there's a big flashing red light that comes, and I'm not always ready to see it. But he comes to us, and he says, and to all of us who have gone through maybe some disappointing times or experiences recently, yeah, you've had some pain, and you've had some problems, but my purpose for your life is far greater than the problem that you're experiencing right now. I've got a bigger design that you're just not seeing right now, but trust me, it's there. He encourages me when I'm disappointed. Secondly, he strengthens me when I'm distressed. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I like how the Amplified Bible puts it. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. This inner strength, and he says, this is how he explains that strengthening. He says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I love that. I am competent, God says. I am capable, God says. I am able to handle whatever comes my way because it isn't in my own strength. It is in the strength that Christ says, I am giving you in my Son. That is the strength that we are able to have and find. There is nothing that can devastate me in 2020. No matter what happens, because I can face it, and it's not only me who's facing it, it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is Christ in me, the one who's strengthening me. It is Christ in me who is the light of the world. Wow. Not on my own, but on his power and in his power. I'll say it again. When does the light shine the brightest? It's when the night is darkest, right? That's when it's able to shine the most. Third thing, he will guide me when I'm doubtful. You know, when I'm confused and I don't know which way to go, he's right there. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't know what it is that has gotten you stressed out, has you worried, has you uptight, laying awake at night, thinking about, chewing on, trying to figure it out, stomach doesn't feel good. Look, you are going to have to make some major decisions in the year 2020. It's just going to happen. They're going to come your way. I don't know what they are. You don't know what they are, but I can guarantee you they're coming. So let me ask you this. On what basis will you make those decisions that you are going to have to make? Are you going to say, well, hopefully I'll have a good feeling about it and go forward with it? Feelings aren't something to be counted on. You could have had some bad eggnog the night before or pizza that didn't set quite right. So feelings aren't the way to base your decisions. It said, well, if everybody else thinks it should happen, the majority of people think it should happen, then that's what I'll do. You know what? The majority is often wrong. But when you face doubts, wouldn't it be great to know that there is a reliable source that you could always count on to give you the right advice and never steer you in the wrong direction? Wouldn't it be great to say, where do I go for that? Oh, yeah, I know where to go. I'll tell you what, this is where we go. And that's why the psalmist said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It's God's word. This is the only reliable guide for life. It's what will illuminate us. It's what will keep us from stumbling in that darkness that we're trying to get through. It will help us see things clearly. Where does the light work the best? In the darkness, right? This is the light. And Christ, yes, he came into this world as the light of the world, but he has revealed himself through this book. And so this book is that light as well. And that's how we know what he would have us to do. So it is so true that this is what we need to count on. And I would encourage you in the coming year, I don't know if you have had a regular time of reading God's word, or even how long it's been since you've read through the entire Bible, or maybe even just the New Testament. Why don't you say, in 2020, I'm going to stay close to God by staying close to what he talks to me about. I'm going to spend time in his word. If you'd like a plan or a way to help you do that, come see me afterwards, and I've got a couple that I could give you, send your way, and give you some ideas to do so. Because for us, I know Amy and I are coming to the end now of our Bible reading through the year, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been a drudge sometimes getting through some of those long portions of those major and minor prophets and some of the names that come up in the book of Numbers, but we've really grown together and closer with the Lord, most importantly. All right, the fourth thing I'll say today and last is this. He can change me when I'm depressed. You know, I want to be careful here, okay? I got to be careful because I don't want to stand up here and pretend that I've got the answers for you. And I don't want to stand up here and say, you know what? God just, he's going to come alongside you. He'll pat you on the back and say, cheer up. Get over it. God doesn't work like that. He does want to come alongside of us. He does want to pat us on the back. He does want to walk hand in hand with us. But he also wants to change us. And you see, if we changed into a place over time that seems to get darker and darker, and we don't see a way out, God can then bring the changes in our lives that bring us back to a place of seeing the light and more living in the light. Now, it just doesn't happen overnight. We've got to recognize this. We know some people who have fallen off ladders and broken an arm, and it just isn't healed just like that, right? You got to have a sling, or if you have a cast, the doctor set it and work with you. And so it might be that you need to get a little help outside of yourself. It's just not working trying to pump yourself up. There's nothing wrong with that, beloved. In fact, I would encourage it. Talk to your doctor about it. Maybe there's something out there that can deal with an injury that is maybe up here that you haven't really recognized yet. Just like that bone that needs to be set so that it can heal properly. A doctor or a Christian counselor can come alongside and help guide you through that process to get you to a place that you're healthy again. And he wants to change us to do that, to bring new thoughts in our lives, to bring new approaches and new choices. God doesn't want to just, you know, cheer us on and tell us to keep going. He wants to change us. He's not saying you just need to fight the darkness, just flip on the light. No, he often sees it and comes alongside of us as a process. But Ephesians 5 tells us that when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. When the light of God shines on my life, it can brighten me up. It can bring me out of the pits of despair, and that light of God fills my life, and I start to glow. It makes me that person that helps me on the way to make me that person that God intended for me to be, healthy, full of his spirit, and walking with him daily with joy. Ephesians 5:9 tells us the light produces in people all that is good and right and true. When we allow Christ to fill our lives with his spirit, as we walk in step with him, he brings out the best in us. He dispels the darkness in our lives because he is the light. Often when we're in those modes in our mind, we stay away from the light of his word, when that is the best thing for us, to encourage us and strengthen us and bring us to a place. And that's what Christmas can be all about. You might be feeling overwhelmed this Christmas. Maybe you are going through one of those four difficult days, a dark day, a difficult day of disappointment, a difficult day of distress or of doubt, maybe even some element of depression. But here's the good news, beloved. The good news is that because of Christmas, there is now a light in the world that can drive away that darkness. 1 John 2:8 says the darkness in our life disappears and the new light of life in Christ shines in. You know, when I start thinking about that first Christmas, it's amazing to me about that star that the wise men saw to follow from the east. Now, here's the thing. Other people saw it too. It wasn't just those three magi. Millions of people had to see this light shining. And yet the only three that really did anything about it, as far as the record goes, are these magi who began a journey that probably took almost 2 years to complete. They continued to look to the light and do what they had knew God wanted them to do, which was follow that light. And I just wonder, why didn't any others do that? Maybe that's why these guys are called the wise men. I don't know, but it could be. There's one thing to know that there's a light in the world, right? It is quite another to actually follow that light. But here's the point. See, you've got a choice in this. You can choose the darkness, or you can choose the light. You can choose to live in the dark nights of the soul, or as Shakespeare said, the winter of discontent, or you can choose to live in the light. You know, God shines the sun on everybody. Somebody can go live in a cold, dark cave if they want, but the sun still shines and is available to all. It's our choice. So if we want to get out of the dark days, we need to start living in the light. And that's our choice. I believe God brought each and every one of us here today to be able to have me tell you something at the end of the year 2019 and the beginning of the year 2020. I think he wants to say something to you. And here's what it is. If I might be so bold as to speak of what God might be thinking. I believe he's saying, you matter to me. I know all about you, and I want you to know me. I came in human form so that you could relate to me in Jesus Christ. I love you, and I want to have a relationship with you. I'm not talking about religion or rituals or rules or regulations. I'm talking about a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, the one who made you, God, your creator. That's what Christmas is about. He says, I came as light in the darkness to light people's lives. So the first step for maybe some of you here today is to accept the free gift of God's salvation, his Christmas gift, his son, Jesus Christ. You need to receive that gift and say, Christ, I accept that gift. I believe that what you did on the cross, you did for me. I believe that when you were buried, and most of all, when you rose again from the dead, that was enough to make me a brand new person. And that's what I want to happen today, to be brand new. Forgive me of my sins. Put that light of your love and grace in my life. I look out and I see that there's a lot here who have made that decision. You say, Rob, I've been there. I've done that. I'm a Christian, but maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's been a while as you've trusted Christ as your Savior, but you've sort of drifted away. Your heart has been pulled by the world or circumstances or situations away from what you once held near and dear. John described this in one of the seven churches of Revelation. You've lost your first love. You've gotten lukewarm. That joy of your salvation is gone. Friends, you don't want to stay there. You don't want to stay there. Because there is so much more to life for you. And God is waiting there. Again, this is your choice. He's not going to drag you home, but he is the Father who is waiting at the gate for his son to come back home. And when he sees us, like the prodigal son who arrived, he runs to us and he lavishes on us once again all that is ours, the inheritance that is already ours, he has for us and wants to give us. I believe this Christmas, he's saying, come home to the light. Come home to Christ. A lot of us have gone through some dark days. You know better than anyone what those might be. Maybe you think, well, I'm not in a dark place right now, Rob. Well, I can promise you this. Watch out. Something tough is coming, because that's what life is. It's tough. The good news of Christmas is that the darkness in our life can disappear, and the new light of life in Christ becomes ours when Jesus makes us a brand new creation. And that too is a choice that you're faced with. Let's pray. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you want me to pray for you today, right now, just put your hand up in the air between you and I. If you want me to pray for you right now, put your hand up in the air, and I've got you. Yep. Heavenly Father, there's people here today who are tired of the darkness, and they want to be reassured to know of your plan for their life and the purpose that you've made them for, but they're struggling, Lord. They're wrestling. Lord, they may not understand it all, but as much as they know how, help them, Lord, to open their life up to you. Come shine your light in their life. Make that darkness disappear. Fill that void, that place with your love, your peace, your joy, your truth, your mercy, your grace. Help them to follow you and to live in the light. May the lights we see all around us this Christmas be a reminder of that new life that I'm choosing to live in right now. Thank you for that, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.